Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, it's Tech Talk from home yet again, and it is lovely to have my friend with me on Zoom as we are. Robin Christofferson is there from AbilityNet. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, guys. Hope everyone is keeping well.
And we've got Andy with us as well. Eyes Andy, as I'm now calling him. Hello, Eyes Andy.
Oh, cheers, ears Stephen. And nose Robin. Hello.
Andy, Andy, hiya.
We all have a part to play, and your part is your eyes. So there you go. It's all worked out rather well, hasn't it? Yes, hello, welcome to the show. Not that I'm putting you in a box in any way. Well, you know, you'll get over it. Right, so look, we've got lots to get through because it is a busy show. Lots going on this week. Microsoft had the big Ability Summit. We'll be talking about that in a minute. But I've got to say first, Robin and Andy, I splurged last week on a big piece of tech. And I mean big piece of tech.
And I think you told us about this last time. How's it going?
So it was only a small 75-inch TV. Just a small
one. A mere.
Just a mere TV. It is absolutely amazing. I'm loving it. I mean, aside the fact that it's huge and it's now just a bigger blur in my living room, it's actually not too bad. I'm seeing things a little bit more clearly. I mean, you know, what that means in reality, I don't know. I mean, I can't turn audio description off. We're not at that stage, right? But, you know, I'm at a point where I can at least get an idea that there's, you know, people on screen as opposed to inanimate objects. That's where we are. So that's quite nice. And, yeah, the Samsung TV. So it's a Samsung 75-inch 7 series. And I don't know what series we're up to with these. I have a feeling we're up to series 9. But this is a 2020 model. And they brought it out. And the price I got it for was £800, which I've got to say, for a 75-inch TV, I don't think that's too bad, really. I mean, my first TV we had up on the wall was a 55, and that was £1,500, and that was 5 years ago. So things have moved on a bit, the prices have come down, and this sale that was on with this particular one was, I think, an absolute bargain. But anyway, I did think it's probably not going to have a lot of features in it that the other higher-end TVs do. And I'll be honest, I've spent a lot of time with the TV yesterday when it was installed and we got it up in the wall and everything. We've got it put up there. And I'll be honest with you, I can't find anything that is missing from it. Because it's got the latest Tizen operating system that's running it. That's Samsung's version of Android, if you like. Dog's barking, by the way, but don't worry about that. Joy's the recording from
that
home.
That usually means the Amazon delivery guy's outside.
Probably another TV.
Probably,
yeah.
What it is.
That's a 75-inch for upstairs. But it's got the Tizen operating system on it, which is great. And it's also got the Apple TV app, which I thought only came in certain models. This one has it.
Wow.
It's got AirPlay built in, so I can watch TV or listen to TV, you know, whatever, really, from my iPhone. I can just bounce it straight to the TV. And it's also got, obviously, the audio description and all that, if you use Freeview. But in addition to that, voice guidance, which is all the accessibility function that allows you to navigate the entire system using your remote control and getting audible feedback from the TV as well. And I've got to say, they've improved that a lot. They've made a lot of adjustments to it since I last saw that being demoed by Samsung. So lots of big improvements. Things like, I mean, changing the speed of the voice was something that was kind of just really, it was like a slow, medium, and fast wasn't really fast. It wasn't like, you know, the way we listen to our screen readers, right? It was still pretty slow. Whereas they've changed all that, and now it's much, much nicer. You can get much faster voice. You can change the pitch as well. Lots of other things like, you know, the ability to enlarge the entire menu system. So if you can see it a little bit, you can, but it's maybe just too small, you can enlarge all the text, make everything bigger. And you can also adjust the level of audio description volume, which I quite like. So you can adjust that. If you find it's too loud in TV programs, you can adjust it down.
I'm really surprised about that. Is it a separate channel?
I don't know how they do it. Yeah, I don't know how they do that. But that's only on Freeview, right? So that's only for Freeview channels. If you're watching content from Sky, as I am, then that's all fixed by Sky. So, you know, you get a bit of more control on the Freeview side, which I like. And I do love the fact I can go into the EPG and I can navigate through and find out what's on BBC One tonight at 7 o'clock and I know what's there. And I can watch it, I can schedule it. I think, I don't know if this one does it, this model I don't think can record programmes, but it certainly you can find them and you know what's on, so you can get the TV guide read to you, which is really, really nice. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of lovely accessibility features to it. High contrast as well, which is always handy because, you know, you get these lovely menus, but they're so difficult to read, whereas you can take all that off, you can make the text bigger, bolder. So yeah, really nice features in there. The only one thing I'll say against it is, and I don't know if it's just a setting up issue, because I've had this with my iPhone SE. My iPhone SE at the beginning was very slow and struggled a little bit, and now it's fine. I don't know if there's a setup process with these, but I did notice that the voice did struggle. The voice on the voice guidance struggled to keep up and was breaking up a lot. So I don't know if that's a power issue with the processor. I don't know. We'll find out over the course of the next couple of weeks when I've had a chance to properly play with it, but I will report back on that. But so far, so good. And picture looks amazing, but then it would do me, I suppose.
Wow, yeah, but and you're getting close, your steps in, your 10,000 steps a day, jogging
walking
up and
back
down.
And forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, to look at it, yeah.
Amazing.
That's right.
Wow.
Absolutely brilliant.
And you didn't have to widen the door or take the window out to...
No, although it could have replaced the window easily,
yeah, that's true.
In the room.
Yeah.
We could just replace it with a massive television. But yeah. No, I do like it. I do like it.
And the screensaver could just be your street outside.
That's right, yeah. Well, actually, that was another thing. So the Ring video doorbell has had lots and lots of updates to it. And if you've got a Fire TV stick, you can actually ask Lady A to show you the front door. Now, interesting, I didn't know this. I thought that was only available to people who bought the brand new Ring video doorbells. I thought it was from Ring Video Doorbell 2, but they've actually brought that feature into the first edition as well, which is brilliant. So lots and lots of features in there, and even new ones around, which I think this is brilliant. You get a feature now in the Ring Video Doorbell where you can enable it to try and work out using AI who is at your door and what is at your door. So for example, say someone pulls up in a car outside. You don't want it to tell you there's motion at the front door because there's a car. I mean, you might, but if you don't, it can be quite irritating because the motion sensor is going off all the time. It can actually now detect humans and within a radius that you've chosen. So you get much more flexibility and I get far less motion notifications. Lots of kids around here, you know, running about on their bikes and doing all the rest. I don't have any, you know, it's just constantly going off. The motion sensor is constantly going off. Whereas I just want it to tell me when someone's at the front door, and now it does that, and it's pretty much faultless, actually. So no, I'm really impressed, and I've still got version 1. Version 3 is just coming out this month, yeah, in June. So we're looking forward to hearing more about it. But to be honest, version 1's pretty good, and I think they're doing it for like £90 for the new version of that version. So yeah, it's a bargain. Ring doorbell is very good. Great for security. And another feature I had no idea about till a friend told me was that you can ask Lady A, if you don't have an Echo with a screen and you don't have a Fire TV stick, you can just ask your regular Echo Dot to answer the front door. And it just enacts the microphone and you just have a conversation. You don't need to see it. So lots of potential. And this isn't an accessibility thing. It's just built in to the system, and it's just the way the system operates. You have to link your Ring account with your Amazon Echo through the Lady A app. You've got to do that first for all these features to work. It won't just work automatically. Even though Ring is an Amazon company now, you still have to connect them in that way. But once you've done that, you get access to all those great features. So, there you go. You get 2 for the price of 1 there, Robin.
Well, the motion sensor then, because we've got security lights, and if they go off too often, you can just angle the motion sensor slightly, you know, downwards, so it sort of reduces the range of, or the area that it's trying to detect motion in. So could you not just point it straight down to your path, for example?
You can't change the motion sensor on a Ring doorbell. It's all fixed.
Right.
It's a fixed unit.
One case.
But what you can do is, using software, you can draw in that sensor. You can almost draw a line around your house or around the 180 degrees that it sees. And you can say, bring that 180 degree back or forward, depending on your drive. Like I say, my drive extends out onto a road. So my pathway leading up to the road, I've got my line there. and I could have brought it back a little bit because, you know, kids run by and they'll maybe run onto the path. And, you know, if they do, then it sets off the motion sensor. I've now got it so that it's kind of fixed
and the alarms
into a good position.
And the dogs and the turrets come out, get off my gun lawn, turrets. All that kind of stuff.
That's exactly all that stuff. Yes, exactly. Yeah, you know it well.
So this has,
you could actually have a dot outside that set up a routine, and then it would set off an alarm sound. You could totally do that.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing; it's so good. There's so many things you could do.
So now that this recognizes
tile as well.
Now that it recognizes humans, so I'm sure in a future update you'll be able to have some sort of facial recognition on it as well. You could connect that up to your lights, so every time the mother-in-law comes around, the lights go like a red colour. Yeah, panic, panic.
Well, funnily enough, this is one thing I thought would have been here by now, because Google Nest Hello, which is their version of a doorbell, that's Google's version, it does have that function, and it can tell you who is at the front door. It will say it's your mum, or you can put the picture in. I think you can learn the face as well.
It's that guy from Amazon again.
Yeah, well, in my case, yeah, probably is. He and I are getting on really well, by the way.
Yeah, you're keeping him in a
we're
job.
Good buddies now. I know. He's
put
so
his
pleased.
Kids through
every
university.
Time I buy something, he has five more shifts. But I mean, that's the thing. So Google Nest Hello has it. Why doesn't the Ring have it yet? I think it's definitely due to happen.
It doesn't need to be.
It does feel a little bit.
It doesn't need to be something as dramatic as red lights flashing, but just a simple dim of the lights or a brightening of the lights and then down, straight down again.
Well, I'll tell you the great reason for that. For a lot of people who are deaf, this is perfect technology because, you know, what use is a doorbell to someone who's deaf, profoundly deaf especially? Mm-hmm. So, you know, having something which can flash or make a sound depending on your needs, it can make a big difference. I mean, in my case, lights wouldn't be a bad thing because every time the doorbell goes, of course, it rings on all the echoes through the house and the dog goes bananas, as you just heard. So, you know, when that happens, you think, right, okay, it would be good to have something else so that the dog doesn't pick up on the scent. Although he'll probably get used to the fact that when the lights flash, oh, the door's going, right, I need to bark like a crazy person now. Okay, and so it goes. But
blame Pavlov.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, it's an interesting one. I'd love to see more on that. But anyway, you were going to tell us about your Bose, because I want to hear about this. You got your Bose frames back. Because they weren't working, so you got them sent off. Tell us how you're getting on with those. Are they better? Are they everything you hoped for and more?
I've had a brilliant experience with these because I got them on eBay because I thought, you know, these are a bit pricey.
Bad idea.
I got them on eBay and they were absolutely fine. They were like as new. And then I smacked my face on a cupboard, I think I mentioned, and had to send them back. But they were so good about sending them back. They, you know, sent me a thing to print out and told me where I could drop it off at a collection point just to nearby newsagents, and because they were under warranty, so the chap who had sold them on eBay must have sold them within the first year. So yeah, they were still under warranty when they came back. They said 6 weeks, but it was like a week, which is brilliant. And they were in the sealed box, so this is a brand new pair, which is fantastic. Love it. And wow. I was missing them so much, honestly, guys. If you can afford it, or if you can find them elsewhere, you know, lightly used, one careful owner, not someone who smacks their face into doors, then you might be onto a winner and you'll hopefully love them as much as we do. So, yeah, I use that new update to the firmware where you can press the button. It's only got one button on the right arm for play pause, double click it to go forward, triple click to go back, press and hold to do Siri, that sort of thing. And there's a new update where you press and hold it and you move your head left to right, and it does the volume up and down, and I love all that stuff. People who know the Bose frames know that it's got a compass built in, and it works really well with Soundscape, Microsoft's Soundscape, you know, navigation.
Oh, yes.
And there's been an update to that recently, so I thought I'd mention that as well, because I've tried that out.
Yeah, I didn't know about this update. But just before you mention the update, though, in terms of the price, I have seen these go, because they're about $199 for the Bose frames, mm-hmm. they are. And I've seen them going in some stores, brand new, for $169. So if you are in the market, it's maybe not a bad time to have a look. Some stores are selling them a bit cheaper at the moment. I don't know if that's the sense that there's a second pair due, a second gen coming soon. That usually indicates something when they're trying to get rid of old stock. But at the same token, these are very good. I love the Bose frames, you know. I mean, Andy, you know, we haven't seen each other physically in person for quite a while. But you know, every day I wear these Bose frames, don't I? I love them. I just love having them on. And they look good, don't they? I mean, they look all right. They don't look...
You wouldn't notice them any difference. Now, that we've talked about... Well, we briefly mentioned Google Glass last week. Now, those as glasses didn't look like spectacles at all. Whereas your Bose frames, they could pass as normal outdoor sunglasses any day of the week. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But no, I like them. Anyway, do tell us about the update.
So, yes, Soundscape. I'm sure people are aware of what it is. And it does utilize that compass in the headset. So... when you've connected your frames, it says now you're good to go. You can put your phone in your pocket. You no longer have to hold it in the direction as you know that you're facing, etc., where you want to be oriented. So you pop it in your pocket and you carry on walking, and you hear everything in kind of 3D in your ears. And as you move your head around, or as you yourself turn a corner or whatever, and your head's facing in a new direction, then everything pans around. It's really cool. So the two new updates to Soundscape are being able to share landmarks or markers, which is really useful. So you can do a search.
Oh, that's been asked for a lot. I've seen a lot of requests for that.
So you can search for things that are nearby, POIs, points of interest. You'll find something. You can then set a beacon on it, and you get this lovely chiming sound that moves around as you move around. So you can head towards it, and when it's directly in front of you, it makes this nice tinkly noise. It's really cool. Really good sound effects. And those things that you can search for are something that you can then set a marker on, or you could search for an address, for example, that isn't a kind of a POI, a known landmark, and then you can set a beacon on that, a landmark on that, and all of those markers then form your kind of favorites, and you can then share those with other people. So somebody else might be able to set a marker on a bench in a park that you otherwise might not be able to find, and share that with you, and hey presto, next time you head towards there, you can set that a beacon on that landmark that you've had shared with you, and you can find it really, really easily. So that's new. And the other new thing is a lot of COVID-19 related information. So you'll find when you open it now, as you swipe to the right, the first thing you'll land on is information about COVID-19. And that's basically a continually updated set of information from Microsoft, tips and tricks about safe navigation, and I think also other kind of related COVID virus stuff about staying safe and that sort of thing. So that's a really neat additional resource that's kind of integrated into Soundscape, which I'm thinking is one of the best navigation apps out there. Soundscape and Seeing AI, what a pair.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, though. People don't like... I hear a lot of people saying they don't like to call it a navigation app because it's not a traditional navigational app. It doesn't give you turn by turn. It'll give you information as to where something is.
Or what you're passing and things like that.
Or what you're passing, yeah. So it's almost... It needs to be coupled with an Apple Maps or a Google Maps kind of thing.
For turn by turn, absolutely.
But at the same token, you're absolutely right. If you're in the vicinity of something or you're looking for something, and I was out in Canada last year and I was using it all the time to find locations because I managed to get myself to a location for something to eat, not a huge surprise. And when I came out, I couldn't remember the way I came in. I'm usually very good at remembering the way I travel, but you know, when you're in a foreign land and you know traffic's coming from weird directions and all this nonsense, it's all very strange. So... you know, I very quickly lost my bearings, and I was able to use the Bose frames and the Soundscape, and was able to navigate myself back to where I was going, and it was brilliant. You know, it was just so easy. I liked it. It was almost, actually, I almost felt like I was playing a computer game when I wear it.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're locating something. You know, you're off to locate and find. You hear the beep over there, and where is it? It's over here. And I love that. I just love it. No, it's really, really good. So, yeah, I'm glad you get your Bose frames back, because now you'll stop going on about it. Okay, let's move on. Time now for this.
News from the internet.
And it's been a big week for accessibility from Microsoft's point of view. The Microsoft Ability Summit was held last week. And we did promise to talk a bit about it. We were hoping to bring you lots and lots and lots of information about it. But unfortunately, we had a bit of a problem, didn't we, Robin?
Well,
you and I
they did.
Got together. Well, yeah, well, we did as a result. But yeah, they very much had a problem. Which, you know, in fairness, trying to, I don't know how you begin to navigate all of the and do all of the work that needs to be done to put an event like that on. But yeah, they had a few issues. only 15 minutes in.
Whoa, honestly, I mean, I felt so bad for them. So they were running this very high-profile accessibility event using Microsoft Teams, and I do like Microsoft Teams. I've made my peace with it. It's hugely complicated. It's a monster, and the more popular it gets, the more teams you get invited into, and that multiplies out like some hydra where you've got to switch in and out of different teams, and in each one there's a million things, and it's a place where you can store files, you can arrange meetings, you can have chats. There's huge numbers of tabs and then sub-tabs within tabs, and it's very, very complicated. So there was quite a lot of chatter on Twitter about how complicated it was for people to get in. And these are able-bodied people. And, you know, it was a challenge. So in retrospect, they probably would just have live-streamed the event. And I should probably mention at this point that our Tech for Good Awards, if you go to tech4goodawards.com, are now open for entries. So if you work for an organization that's doing great things, you might want to go there and look at the criteria for that. The reason why I've mentioned that in a very kind of awkward segue is because we've just streamed the live launch event. Try saying that if you haven't got your teeth in. And we just did that on Facebook and on YouTube. You could go to either one of those, give you the link, click on it, and bang, you're in, you're listening. And the integration is brilliant. You can use the comments in either Facebook or YouTube as you prefer, and you're interacting, and it feels like an interactive event. They should have done that. They really should have done that, because the whole thing fell over. Like you say, quarter of an hour in, it went to like a holding. Well, first of all, we managed to get through the Jenny Leigh Flurry keynote, which we'll play for you in a moment. I've edited it down. It was about 10 or 12 minutes. We've got sort of 4 or 5 minutes. So you can get a flavour of the kind of thing. It certainly didn't feel like polished, you know, video AV stuff. You'll hear the audio quality. It's people doing things from their homes. But these are big, you know, players. So Jenny Leigh Flurry, she's the head of accessibility for the whole of Microsoft. She then handed over to Satya Nadella, who's the CEO of Microsoft. He's the top guy. And he started to get really choppy. Half of what he was saying was lost. And then 3 or 4 minutes into his interview, they just cut to the holding pattern where the lady said, "We will be resuming shortly." And
for an hour and a half,
we sat on it, didn't we, for ages until we gave up. Now, apparently, because it was a 3-hour event on both days, it did resume, but only after we'd bailed, after giving it, like you say, a long time.
Yeah,
so
we gave it
a lot
of time.
Really painful. I felt so bad for them. They should have just done a live stream.
Well, at least Apple will either be laughing their heads off at this, or they'll be saying, "Hope we get it right when it comes to WWDC." Because, the slight difference with WWDC is it will be a live stream, and we're used to watching the live stream from Cupertino. But it will be interesting to see what it's like this time round, because so many people are watching it online as opposed to being in front of Tim or part of the WWDC experience. All those people are watching from home as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, let's maybe dive in a bit to the summit and get a flavour of what we were expecting from the summit. And then Robin's going to point us towards a number of the resources that are available for you to be able to, like you've just mentioned, but the other places that you can get all this content as well, if you want to watch and learn for yourself what the Microsoft Accessibility Summit was all about.
1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act was enacted. 2000, the first version of Narrator was released with Windows 2000. 2008, the Microsoft Disability Employee Resource Group was started in Redmond, Washington. 2011, the first Microsoft Ability Summit was held in Redmond, Washington. Pictures from previous Ability Summits. Satya Nadella, Microsoft CEO.
For us, it's not just about, you know, falling in love with new technology, but it's about being able to apply a breakthrough in computer vision and creating an application like Seeing AI. If I see what has happened inside of Microsoft in the last, whatever, 4 years or so, Well, there's been a renaissance of sorts where people have come together and said, let's embrace accessibility, and all these technologies we talk about all have come out.
It takes a village of passionate and talented people to drive change. You are the driver of innovation. Jenny Lafleury, Microsoft Chief Accessibility Officer.
This is a journey. This is not something we claim to be the best at. This is something that we will continually learn. And we're really proud.
2020, now we are facing new challenges. But with every challenge comes the opportunity for innovation.
Please welcome the Chief Accessibility Officer at Microsoft, Jenny Lafleury.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to Ability Summit. We are thrilled that you could join us, and thrilled that this is our first virtual summit that's also fully open to the public. There is no bigger learning moment than the one that we're living in right now. Accessibility is more important than ever. Accessibility is the route to access, to information, to independence. When we think about how our products are being used, how we can take the learning that's come from this gorgeous work at home, stay at home, be at home world, and how have those manifested into our products? You guys have been reaching out, and I love that. We had a 175% increase to our disability answer desk. People reaching out wanting to know, hey, what technologies can I use? Dedicated support and experts on hand 24/7 to help you. What we also learned is that the accessibility features are getting an enormous boost in use. I've always maintained that the features that we have in our products are underutilized. There's so much more and a wealth in there, and we're seeing that. Just a couple of examples. Immersive Reader has gone up 560% since February. 23 million monthly active users right now. And the other biggest one is captioning. Across all of Microsoft 365, whether you're using captioning in Microsoft Teams or in PowerPoint, just exponential growth. Also, investing in projects that allow connection. There's so many examples, but I have to highlight one that I think just gives a gorgeous lens to the future. This is Project Tokyo. It's come out of the UK, and it's a research project that's looking at the connection between AR and AI. And I want you to imagine the scenario of putting on a HoloLens, being blind, and being able to understand, because of the input you're being given through that device, who is sat at the table and where they are at that table, even when they move to put the dishes away. It's that one example of how you can grow social interaction. And it's never been more important in these times. We got a lot more to learn. And I couldn't be more thrilled to have you all here over the next 2 days, over 80 speakers, 22 breakouts, tons of NGOs that have been posting their content and product demos all online for you to check out in your time. If there's any goal that we have for Ability Summit, it's to collaborate, to accelerate. There are some big demographics out there that we have the power to change, whether it's an unemployment rate, productivity rate, or just feeling independent. Technology has the power to do that. And by sharing the wealth, then we can move faster on those goals.
And that was Jenny Lafleury there, the Chief Accessibility Officer at Microsoft, speaking at the Ability Summit last week, getting things underway. And, you know, Robin, it is a really interesting event. Of course it is. And it's great that even the fact it just exists is brilliant, you know, that we're having these conversations, and that Satya Nadella was there. You know, I mean, I can't ever imagine a time when Tim Cook wouldn't stand up and talk at an event like that for Apple. Or indeed, you know, the head of Google would do that, and I can't get that person's name. But,
God, what is his name?
I have no idea.
It's going to bother me now. Another Indian.
Okay. But I think it's just it is brilliant that this is even in existence. And, you know, I'm so pleased. And I'm looking forward to getting into all the you know, videos and content that Jenny talks about, because it was tons and tons of stuff there for us to enjoy.
Yeah, Sundar Pichai.
There we go.
Project Tokyo sounded good. It sounded a little bit like, you know, seeing AI ported to HoloLens, but I don't know if people know, but HoloLens is a beast. It's almost like a welder's helmet on your head, so you're not going to be wearing that at the dinner table. Best ported to
unless you're welding.
Apple Glass, guys. Just saying, it's already on iOS. But anyway, so she mentioned about loads of sessions that are coming up, and including product demos and that sort of thing. Now, it is all going to be available on YouTube, and I thought that's the place I'm going to go. I'm not going to kind of deal with the monster that is Teams and have to stay up till midnight, because last night's one, the second day at the time of recording, was yesterday up until midnight, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to catch up before recording today. But as of time of recording now, nothing's on YouTube apart from one demo, which was by a company called Challenged Athletes, and it was Mindfulness Moments. That's the first one they've chosen to put up. If you want to, all of the sessions are going to be there sooner or later. So if you either search for Ability Summit on YouTube, they also had a lot of short links that are aka.ms. They all start with that, and that's a really good domain for an alternative Microsoft place to put info. So if you go to aka.ms/YouTube/AbilitySummit, then you can get taken to that YouTube page as well. And that page is where all of those videos will be added. So watch that space. They also have a Microsoft blog, which is at blogs.microsoft.com/accessibility. So blogs.microsoft.com, that's pretty straightforward, /accessibility. And I'm sure stuff's going to go up there as well. They're pretty good about putting accessibility announcements up there. So I'm sure that they will cover that event, the event there too. Nothing's gone up yet though. So hopefully next week we'll be able to bring you some more breaking news about what sessions were covered, what new products, what new functions or features within Windows, etc. And just to finish off places where you can find out about what Microsoft's up to, there's an account called on Twitter called at MSFT, Microsoft, enable, at MSFT enable. Now, it's a bit confusing because that's what you need to follow, but their screen name is MSFT Accessibility, which threw me a bit to begin with because I tried to search for that and no Twitter accounts came up. But that's because it's MSFT enable is what the name of the actual account is. And they tweet regularly, and there's been a lot of activity there about what's been going on. So, but it doesn't link to any articles or anything. So just little kind of snippets of, hey, great session, so-and-so, and that sort of thing. So, yeah, hopefully we'll bring you a lot more next week.
Okay, looking forward to that. Now, look, I know we could talk Microsoft all day, and I am really conscious that we always say at the beginning of the show we want to get to the emails as soon as possible. And then, Andy, it's, what, 45, 50 minutes into the show, and we say, oh, yeah, right, well, let's get to the emails because we've finished talking about all our stuff. So before we do that, I am going to get to the emails in a minute, but I'm going to give you the chance to talk about one thing, and you're getting 2 minutes on this because I can imagine what the email inbox will be like next week if we start this again. So this week, what was it? You had Hitchhiker's Guide, you had your talk about Harry Potter, now you want to talk about Fraggle Rock?
Again, I am totally vindicated in talking about this. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where Apple, because a lot of stuff on their TV Plus channel, which most people are going to get a free year of because they've bought a device, but other people are paying, is it $4.99 a month for?
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff has been put on hold because of coronavirus. So they're kind of thinking about what new content to put up there. They've done some shorts around Fraggle Rock, which we talked about last time or previously, where people...
Oh, hang on, so you've talked about this already?
A few weeks ago, we mentioned about how the Fraggle Rock people are shooting in their own homes, and it's funny because they're
socially
isolated.
You
obviously don't listen to the show.
I will listen to every week. Big fan.
Yeah, so the scenario there is that they're all socially isolated in their own little caves. But the doozers, the good old doozers, have provided some little doozer tubes so that they can talk to each other. So that's really cool. But poo-pooed. Oh, no. I was poo-pooed by that for mentioning it. But what Apple have done is not only are they bringing all the old episodes of Fraggle Rock to TV+, they're also commissioning a full reboot of the series, so they're going to be producing new ones too, obviously. Wow. As and when they can do that. So yeah, totally vindicated. Let's move on. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. That's quite enough of that.
I went over, didn't I? Sorry.
You didn't have. Right, okay. Andy, what's in the email inbox today?
Nothing on Fraggle Rock, I'm afraid.
Oh, what a shame. We'll have to move
good
on.
Hi, Stephen, Robin and Andy. Just a quick email regarding the message you received and read out on one of your previous shows from Amy. She brought up several points which you covered well, but when it came down to her last query regarding RNIB reading services, you quickly advised her to download the Dolphin Easy Reader app and left it there. I'm not sure if this is jogging any of your memories, Stephen, Robin.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, because we talked about that, and we talked about the Easy Reader app. So yeah.
This is from Billy, by the way. I realise that this was due to time restraints, but in her email to you, she mentioned the fact that it had been years since she had last used the service. Amy also said that she wasn't sure whether it was necessary to rejoin or how to go about updating her membership to the RNIB library, and if it was still a charge included in the service. Membership and use of the library is free, and the best way to update yours is to contact the RNIB helpline directly, and they will guide you through the process of transferring to the new reading services platform. It is a straightforward process, which won't take long, and once it is set up, you'll be able to use it immediately. And as Stephen said, the easiest way to access the library is via the Dolphin Easy Reader app. And once you have downloaded this to your device or devices of choice, it is easy to navigate, very accessible, and although I haven't yet tried it on my iPad, I have used it regularly on my iPhone, and it's excellent. Hope this helps. Keep up the great work with the show. P.S., says Billy, I have decided to buy some new CDs for the lockdown period, and I managed to get some bread, some jam, some meatloaf, some Red Hot Chili Peppers, and even some Smashing Pumpkins. However, no matter where I went, I couldn't get any Lou Rolls. Yes, that's from Billy. Bunch. Yes, haha.
So, Lou Thank Rolls, you, I had to read that bit because I had to spell out that bit. That's the name of a band as well, isn't it?
It's a recording artist from the 80s, I believe, Stephen. You want to correct me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice,
that's
Billy.
Right, Lou Rolls. You'll never find another love like mine. That one. That was a great song, Lou Rolls. What can I say? I could give you the back catalogue if you want.
He should have changed his name.
Lido Shuffle. That was good as well. Ah, good songs, yeah. Take me back. I want to get a Lou Rolls CD out now. Right, okay. What was I wanting to say? Oh, yes. You threw me off point there, Billy, with your joke. You're absolutely right. We didn't have much time that week, I think, to get into that and essentially into the weeds, as you just did there, which is brilliant. Yep. So, yeah, I hope that helps everybody on that one. It is a really good way to enjoy RNIB Talking Books, for sure. Okay, thanks for that, Billy. And thank you for the joke, I think. Right, what else have we got?
Hi, Tech Talk Gan. This is from Shazad. I am a first-time emailer, and I would suggest that there should be a how-to section on the podcast for anyone to listen back, and then you could ask Robin to ensure that he makes it easier to access podcast categories on AbilityNet by putting all Lady A skills in chronological order from the beginning for anyone who buys an Amazon Echo Dot for the first time. And could you recommend which one to have, as there are many variations of Echo Dot devices out there, and it can be a tad confusing for a blind person who wants to have an Echo Dot for their personal use. Also, can you tell Andy that he should become a regular person on your show? Oh, thank you very much. And you can tell Robin that any
there's no money in it.
Tell Robin that any demonstrations that he does in the future, he should slow the device in which he is demonstrating on a much slower rate for anyone to understand what Robin is demonstrating.
busted.
Mm. And he goes on, can you
hands up to that.
Can you ask Robin that he should do a follow-up demonstration on the Ponties Media Downloader in in relation to uploading an MP3 audio onto a mobile phone so that we can listen to it on the move. Once again, you do a grand job, but I wish the show was longer, though. There's someone actually wishing the show was longer.
I think some people think it's long enough.
I'm feeling rebellious now. I don't know why, but yeah.
I know, I've noticed. Yeah, you're going all rebellious on this one. This show has changed you, Robin Christopherson, MBE. You'll get that MBE stripped off you at this rate. Wow, there's a lot in that. Remind me again the top point.
Can you tell?
Sorry, go back to Shazad's
can you
top
tell
point?
Andy that he should become a regular person on the show?
No, that was that one.
Before that, how
much more regular can you be than every single week?
Yeah, I'm on. I mean,
there's just not enough of you, Andy.
I missed the specials. I was bumped for Robin Spinks.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
I'm not needed every week.
I think I'm getting the feeling Shazad's catching up with the show because we have done quite a bit of change in terms of the way we edit the features, and certainly Robin, I think you've slowed down your voice a lot more. So I think Shazad maybe catching up. So hopefully by the time he hears this, he'll be saying, "Could you speed that up a bit?"
I hope it's slow enough. But people out there, please do say, because I know it can be annoying if it's too slow as well. So yeah, please do.
Well, that's right.
If people think it's too fast, too slow, let us know. So his first two points were about
the Echo Dot devices.
Well, actually.
So the Echo Dot devices, which ones out there would you recommend?
So I would recommend the Dot, I think, the third gen Dot, which is the cheapest. Well, it's the cheapest full Echo at around £30, can be even cheaper sometimes.
Well, 50 normally, but it goes down to 30 on sales, cheaper sometimes at Christmas.
I probably would wait until it's at 30, which regularly does happen. I've seen it even lower, particularly if you buy a multi-pack, which I would recommend. Put them everywhere, scatter them around. So I would just say the Dot. And he said about...
Well, hang on. Can I get in here? Because I have something to say on this. So I agree wholeheartedly with the Echo Dot 3. The Echo Dot 3rd generation is brilliant. Great sound off it. Here's the thing. Buy two of them. You can stereo pair them. You get even better sound.
That's a really
good bass
good
response off them. Good bass response. So you get really nice bass off them. And if you do pair them up, they actually do come up with a nice speaker. I actually got rid of, well, not rid of, but I moved my old Echo, which actually was, the second gen Echo? As I call it, as people know I have names for these things, Echo Medium, Echo Big, which is Echo Plus, and then the Echo Ridiculous, which is the studio. They were all lovely, but I just love the size, I love the style. This is going to sound really bad, but I like feeling the Dot.
Nice.
I don't know, it just feels nice in my hand. Yeah, exactly, the nice, easy buttons. I just love it, and it's incredibly cheap, and I think actually it's a blooming bargain actually when you think what it can do. So yeah, I mean there's ones with clocks in them as well, the Echo Dot with the clock, complete waste of time if you're blind, and just an annoying light if you've got some low vision. So
have you got a nickname for the ones with screens? Echo useless.
Echo with pictures.
Echo flat.
Echo Flat, yeah. I mean, they're okay. I know you love them. I'm just not a fan at all. But no, that's my thing. And yeah, the stereo pairing.
Really good
well
tip.
Worth mentioning.
Yeah. So chronological order of the, I think he means the Dot-to-Dot podcast.
He does,
he mentioned AbilityNet, but it's not anything to do with AbilityNet. But yes, they absolutely are all 1,220.
That's ridiculous.
Episodes are available if you go to USA Today, that's a number 2, usatoday.podbean.com.
Okay, brilliant. Right, did we miss anything off that list?
No, I don't think so. Robin, you mentioned Robin slowing down. He should do a follow-up demonstration on the Ponties Media Downloader, which that was a firm no. So yeah, that's everything from Shazad.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Shazad. Hope that helps.
We're going to hear from a very grumpy Alan Milne now. Hi, team. Uh-oh. I know I was lucky to have a well-paid job prior to my retirement, so I have been able to build up my audiophile hi-fi, but has no blind person ever done the same? We all know we have to research and then probably fight for our rights in accessing hardware, software, etc. But at least there is probably something or someone that can help. In the area of high-end hi-fi, I am still looking. and I hope that you or one of your listeners can help. I'm having to replace my streamer in my setup. I have a NAIM, which is N-A-I-M, audio system of separates, and I went to this manufacturer for a replacement with my hi-fi dealer very kindly loaning me the unit, which for all you techies out there, it's ND5XS, which works fine, but here's where the fun starts. An iOS/Android app called NAIM is the only control for the unit, only has an on-off switch, and it's a disgrace for accessibility and usability. I had Radio 4 on this morning, and I couldn't find out how to stop it. There are alternatives, such as a local Scottish company called Lin, but they have the same problem. Any app needs a product installed to check its accessibility, and so it's not easy to arrange. And he goes on to say, so what I usually do is I go on the internet to research these products and their apps. Whoops, there is nothing I can find about accessibility issues or blind users of these high-end products and apps. Surely I'm not alone in having a high-end hi-fi, am I? Can anyone help? I know this is a very first world problem in the grand scheme of things, but it's curtailed seriously my music listening and made my hi-fi just a rack of very expensive bricks. So yes, that's from Alan Milne.
I can see why you'd be grumpy about that, Alan. Yeah, this is an interesting area. There are a lot of people I know listen to this show who will be, I imagine, tapping on their keyboards now with some answers to this. So I'm going to leave that to them. I'm not a hi-fi expert. I like smart speakers. I've always stuck to smart speakers, but I totally understand and kind of wish in a way I'd got into that world a bit more. I was when I was younger. I used to love having my hi-fi separates and got a bit obsessed about a lot of these things, but not so much now. I tend to have I've reduced everything down. So, I'm really interested in what the audience have got to say on this. I mean, Robin, you would listen to a tin can and think it's all right. So,
yeah, I'm more of a spoken word guy, as I've said many times before. Yeah. I do like music, but I'm always thinking, well, I could be listening to something which has got actual content in it. But yeah, I mean, I don't actually like the bassier sounds of new smart speakers. I'd actually go for the kind of tinnier version.
Well, that's why I like the Echo Dot, because it's not.
It is the third gen is much bassier than the second and first, but
it is, yeah. But the second one's like a wasp in a jar.
Well,
whereas
for me,
the third one, yeah, you know, much nicer.
One thing I would say, which isn't going to answer his question, but a top tip would be if people don't like the volume or the sound from their particularly first and second gen dots or any Echo cylinder in a can, you can plug in a really nice amp and speakers, or just speakers, or if they're powered, because it's got a 3.5 mil out jack thing, bob thing. So plug that in.
Yeah, you could even plug it into your fancy hi-fi. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to be what Alan wants. I'm just guessing.
Not.
I don't think that's what Alan's looking
for.
Yeah,
he'll be.
I'd be really annoyed though. Yeah. I'd be really annoyed though if I spent all that money on a streamer like that. And you know, it's only available via an app, and then you're hoping that app remains accessible. And oh dear. Well, anyway, I look forward to hearing what people have got to say. Yeah. Email in techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Tweet us @rnibradio. Right, what's
next? We have a couple of emails here on the Opticon, so you'll be glad to know that our swap shop is gathering pace. That's in the next email. But firstly, thanks for your weekly podcast, as it definitely fills the information and entertainment niche. There you go. Having
entertainment movie.
Yeah, having just heard one of your listeners' comments on the Opticon, I wanted to add a few final points. Firstly, in case it hasn't been previously mentioned, because I'm an anorak like that, Opticon stands for Optical to Tactile Converter.
I never knew what that meant. Yeah. I just thought it was called
Every
the Opticon.
Day's a school
that was just
day,
the brand
isn't it?
Name.
Yeah. Secondly, whilst I agree that for document reading it has absolutely been superseded by OCR, there is one thing that the Opticon can still do, which, as far as I'm aware, has never been addressed by current technology. As it relies upon the human brain to interpret images rather than software, the Opticon allows you to follow diagrams and flowcharts. I found this aspect invaluable during the 70s and 80s in my programming job. Lastly, in those early days before speech and braille terminals were developed, the Opticon provided a means of reading the screen, the VDU as they were then called, by the use of a CRT lens, which you needed to track manually across the vertical screen in front of you. Again, this was very slow and, as you can imagine, after a short period of time, very, very tiring on the arm. However, yet again, it did provide access to a medium, which otherwise was totally inaccessible. Oh, the euphoria when I got my first braille terminal, the BrailleLink, which means I could ditch the CRT lens. The Opticon has definitely outlived its usefulness in terms of a document reading, but until someone comes up with something better, it still has a place in the area of diagrams, I suspect, as it means that alternative methods of presentation to a blind person are less necessary, particularly in the area of software development. Again, thanks for the podcast, and I look forward to the next. That's from Richard.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yeah, I love hearing these stories. And, you know, I often think, Robin, that in some cases, not, and this is a very general point, right? Because, I mean, how can you know for definite? But it seems as though for the blind people who were in jobs in the 70s and the 80s, okay, access to the technology was very different. But because technology itself was simpler, the solutions seemed way ahead of their time and actually made it possible for people to do their jobs. In some cases, from what I'm hearing from what Rich has said and from what others have said about the Opticon and similar devices, there are certain things missing from today's workplace for blind people, you know, very specific things that blind people in certain jobs might need to do their jobs. And in fact, today's technology hasn't met the requirements that, say, for example, an Opticon would offer. So yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's interesting to see how things have changed over the years. In some ways you think, oh, well, everything's better now. But actually, in other ways, it's maybe not changed that much, or in some cases things have been lost.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I still think there's lots of room to explore 3D printing for accessing diagrams. But also, in software, there's lots of software where you can create really complicated diagrams and you can navigate that flow or the different branches of it kind of virtually, with a screen reader, for example. So each one would be kind of an item with branching off things, and you can just choose which way you go. And so you can kind of interrogate the diagram that way, kind of on an object-oriented model point of view. So there are other kind of more modern, in quotes, approaches. But sometimes, you know, that tech just stops working, and that's where you get Be My Eyes out or something like that. Hey, that's another one. Get a Be My Eyes person to explain the diagram to you. So, yeah.
But I think that's the point that people like Richard would make, is that he wants to do it himself. He doesn't want someone else. And and I get that. I think that's the thing. There's a lot of things in my life over the years that I've not, you know, Andy knows this because, you know, he's on the phone to me all the time, and I'm calling him, asking him for, you know, help on this, that, and the next thing. And sometimes it's irritating for me. Not for Andy at all. He's happy to help, and he'll, of course, be my eyes in that situation. Yeah, but it's, you know, you would, I guess you maybe don't understand this at the moment, but you can empathise with it, Andy, that, you know, that can be frustrating because you think, I don't want to have to ask somebody else to do this. I just want to do it
totally
myself.
I totally understand. Yeah, totally.
And it's just irritating, and that's why oftentimes I'll be frustrated about something, but it's not I'm frustrated at Andy or I'm frustrated at anything in particular. It's just I wanted to do it myself and I now can't. And I think there's a lot of people who feel that way, and it's not just related to sight loss, it's related to a whole range of different things. My dad's just gone through a triple heart bypass, and, you know, he's unable to do a lot of the things he used to do at the moment because he's recovering from that, and he's very frustrated all the time. And I was talking to him about this very thing. I said, you know, I get that. I actually understand that, because this is how I feel through the sight loss journey. And it kind of calmed him down a bit to realize, you know, first of all, he's not alone, and secondly, this happens. So, you know, I get that. And I think that that's where, you know, Richard's, in his case, he's very keen to do this himself, and he should be able to do it himself, as we should all be. But of course, there are times we can't, and that's where these wonderful supports are in place. But yeah, interesting point. Now, listen, we've got some time left. Let's quickly, briefly, mention on some of those other Opticon.
Yes, hello, Stephen, Andy, and Robin. Can you believe it? A kind donor in the UK says that he has an Opticon for me. Wow! It's like finding a needle in a haystack. retrospectively speaking, I heard this amazing news via one of my blind vet comrades living in South Africa. So the footprint of Tech Talk is slowly stretching. Can you please help me track down this Opticon? I live in the south of Ireland and will furnish you with my details. I am so excited about this, as my initial skill was on the famous Opticon, and I have so much great reading to sort out. Thanks to you all for a marvellous show, and here's to finding that donor. Yes, that is from Garth. So Garth, in his email, included his address. So, with your permission, Garth, we're going to pass that on to whoever had that Opticon under their stairs.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. What a great end to the show to talk about putting something back into someone's hands that they've always wanted. So I'm just going to put this out there. Anyone got a QWERTY Braille display they don't want? Because I really want to try one. And there's a new one coming out soon called the Mantis Q40. It's coming out. It's an association between American Printing House for the Blind and Humanware. And I'll be really interested to hear about that. I'm hoping it makes its way to the UK soon. It seems to be an American product which will hopefully come over here. I imagine it will. Not sure what the market is for these at the moment, but very interesting for sure. Listen, it's been great on the show again today, guys. Thank you so much. And doing this from home, I've got to say, we're putting this together on Friday of last week. That's when we're recording this on the Friday, because Robin couldn't be around on the Monday for us. So it's all your fault, Robin. But actually, do you know what? It's kind of nice doing it on Friday, because you can just sort of chill out a bit. And so we'll put it together. But unfortunately, you don't get to hear it until you've got it now, which is the Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed the show this week. It is absolutely boiling. So I'll be honest, I'm glad the show is wrapping up now, because my room is filling up with heat.
You're just slowly...
And that's not just from the hot air I'm
expelling.
Slowly
removing items of clothes, as you said.
It's getting like that, yeah. It's like, I started with shorts, let's not go there. But... listen, it's been great. Thank you so much. Andy, as always, thank you for coming on reading the emails. I know we've got
tons.
But we'll get to those next week, I promise you. And keep them coming as well. If you have a story you'd like to share or something you'd like to talk about, or you know how you have an old piece of kit you want to swap out with something, or maybe you just want to put it up and say, listen, I don't need this anymore, does anyone else want it? Then you know what, let's do that. Let's get people connected if that works. We should definitely do that. Get in touch. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can tweet at RNIB Radio as well. And keep in touch. We'll be back next week. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, thank you once again, as always.
No sweat, quite literally.
Well, there's plenty here, none for you, of course, because you don't sweat. That's right. Don't forget the Dot to Dot podcast as well, which has over, 1,200, yep. Did you say?
Quality episodes. 2 or 3 minutes, guys. Give it a go.
We are at what number are we at? 300 odd?
This is 329.
329. See, we go for
it's quality, not quantity. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Thanks, guys.
See you next week.